know you're going to dig this.
Now it's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's our host for Between the Minutes, Peter Dotti.
Good afternoon and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. In the past, Between the Minutes spoke about cybercrime and how it affected individuals and businesses differently. When cybercrime affects individuals, it may be made good by the bank, but when it affects business, it normally would not. This can actually put small and medium-sized businesses out of business. Recently, a Maine judge ruled in the cybercrime case of Patco Construction Company versus Ocean Bank in favor of the bank. This ruling is interesting because it was claimed that the bank may have had automated warnings that were ignored, and their multi-factor authentication may not have been working. The bank claimed that the only reason that the crooks were able to steal the money is because Patco's computers were compromised. The Patco computers were compromised by the Zeus virus, which we spoke about many times in the past. This virus was specifically written in order to perform this type of stealing, where identity fraud of the business is done by capture of the account user ID and password. Magistrate Judge John Rich explained in a 70-page ruling that the bank was not responsible. The judge dismissed the complaint that the bank should have blocked the ACH transfers and rules that the entire problem was caused by Patco's failure to protect her computer. The bank did block about $243,000 worth of transfers, leaving Patco with a loss of $345,000. None of this is a surprise to Between the Minutes listeners who have heard us talk on this exact subject and on the Zeus virus many times in the past. What is important is that businesses' responsibility for cybercrime against themselves has now been authenticated in court. Next, we talk about Microsoft's advanced notification that their June release of security patches will correct 16 known problems, 9 of which are considered critical. The critical patches are for Microsoft Windows, .NET Framework, Silverlight, Forefront Theater Threat Management Gateway, and Microsoft Internet Explorer. The other 7 patches are rated as important and are for Microsoft Windows, Microsoft Office, SQL Server, and Visual Studio. These patches are scheduled for release today, June 14th, 2011. Please make sure you download and install the patches using the automated update management tool and ensure that you have the update management tool configured to automatically download and install patches in the future. Recently, Citigroup has announced that cyber crooks were able to break into their computers and download the personal information of about 200,000 of the bank's North American credit card holders. The information stolen was the account holder's name, account number, contact information, and email address. The bank also explained that the customer's social security number, date of birth, and card expiration date and card security codes were not stolen. Between the Minutes is providing you with a special warning that if you are a Citibank credit card holder and you receive email from them requesting personal information, that you should not provide it, since this may in fact be crooks and not the bank. What you should do is to call the bank using the toll-free number on the back of your card and verify the authenticity of the email. Do not use any phone numbers provided in the email, since these may not be the bank's actual phone numbers. Our last item for Computer Corner today is rather strange and comes from CIO Magazine, which quotes The Guardian, which quotes the famous hacker magazine 2600. That 1 in 4 U.S. hackers are FBI informants. Very few people, including CIO Magazine, believe this. But just in case it is true, all I can say is, good job, FBI. In reality, It is all but impossible for this figure to be true, but it is a known fact that the FBI has been successful in both infiltrating hacker communities and in turning criminal hackers into informants. Personally, I consider this a good thing. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM.
Hi, I'm Anthony Murphy, Executive Director, TownWatch Integrated Services, and I'm here today to invite you to join us at our upcoming 15th Annual Anti-Crime Conference. This year's conference will take place on June 18th, 2011, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Samuel Fells High School, 5500 Langdon Street, Philadelphia, 19131. This year's conference will feature many new workshops, cyber safety, homeland security, and much, much more. Our exhibition hall will open at 9 a.m. with all new displays, free giveaways, and a lot of powerful information no citizen should miss. For more information, you can contact us at 215-686-1459 or by web at www.townwatch.net. Now, you might ask yourself, who should attend? If you're concerned with crime and the quality of life and what you can do about it, or if you'd like to meet new people, network, and exchange ideas, or if you'd like to learn new concepts and techniques on how to address crime in your neighborhood, all during a fun-filled day, this conference is for you. Lunch will be served at 12:30 p.m., and the conference will be concluded at 1 p.m. Come out, get involved, get to know your neighbors, and develop new friendships. You can help improve the quality of life in your community. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
Senator Anthony Williams invites you to a day of family fun and food to kick off a summer of peace with a free cookout on Saturday, June 25th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Stinger Square at 32nd and Reed Streets. For details, please visit SenatorAnthonyHWilliams.com. That's SenatorAnthonyHWilliams.com.
Between the Minutes continues on 860 AM WWDB. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. Now broadcasting from our new home on Radio 860 AM WWDB. You're listening to the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. Let me just take this brief moment to invite all of our listeners to our new home radio, 860 AM WWDB. Our very first guest today at our new home on Radio 860 AM WWDB is Jimmy Tyoon. Let's welcome back to Between the Minutes former city council member, Philadelphia political icon, and publisher of the public record newspaper, Mr. Jimmy Tyoon. Jimmy, welcome to our new digs at 860 AM WWDB.
Peter, I remember your first show on another station, in which I was the first guest.
You were the first guest.
And I'm honored that you allowed me to come again to be another first for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's happening?
Oh, geez. All kinds of stuff is happening. Cyber crime, as you know, is out of control.
It's a killer.
It's a killer.
That's why I love your column. Every time we publish one of your columns, it usually anticipates headlines the next week. So you're way ahead of everybody on this curve. I'm reading something here and I put it in the paper. And this column is now being discussed on television, radio, etc. I says, I don't believe it. You have such a touch with
didn't
this.
You say that you had a couple of really well-known newspapers that were copying stuff out of your paper?
All the time, the dailies. Yeah, because we're the gleaners, you know. You're a subject that they might not find interesting enough because they don't think the general public's interested in cyberspace and all the things that go with computers. But your column is one of those things we've been able to glean thanks to your generosity, and we put it in the paper, and people read it. You know, between Waffle Man is our best column, most widely read. Yours is the second.
Wow. I didn't know that.
They ask me questions when I go visiting different advertisers, et cetera. They ask me questions about your column.
Well, it's fun. It's fun writing it. And quite honestly, just letting people know about these problems is one of the best things you can do to prevent problems. You know?
Well, I'm worried about the United States, not so much the city, the state, just our government, how weak it is in defending itself from constant hacking by the Chinese, particularly the Russians next, Israel number three, and I put them in that order.
Yeah, and quite honestly, things are it's an expanding business. Cybercrime, the chances of getting caught is very low. I mean, although international cooperation amongst police organizations is starting to work. They took down one of a dozen or so Zeus gangs, and that took cooperation between the FBI, the New York police, the Metropolitan Police of London, Scotland Yard, the Netherlands. It was a big deal, but they grabbed a lot of people.
Well, my bottom line is the judge will look at this and figure out, well, who stole what? You know, who do you blame?
And it gets more difficult than that. Which jurisdiction? The stealing took place in the United States, but the guys that did it were in other countries at the time.
So the best thing to do is to go back to getting rid of all computers.
We go back to the cinder block computer.
Cinder block.
That's it.
Pencil and paper.
It's a chisel. Chisel and a cinder block. That's it.
But I want you to know that politically we went through a great period in Philadelphia.
Yeah?
And the only people who didn't pay attention to it were the voters. All of 18 out of 100 showed up to vote at the polls. Mm-hmm. And it cost the city approximately $12 a vote. That's how much the expenses were. You figure it, people don't realize that if you use a polling place. You go to a polling place, the city's commissioners have to pay rent for that polling place. Then you go and look at the people who are at the board, and the city has to pay a salary for all those people. And it just mounts up. But the politicians themselves who ran in this election will have spent, by tomorrow they post their final financial results. Mm-hmm. We estimate, based on what we wrote about last week, their June 2nd or May 2nd filing, whatever their last filing was, June 2nd, I think, June 15th filing will show that they've spent over $15 million to win primary seats.
Wow.
In this municipal election. Isn't that crazy?
That's a lot of money.
And tons of it just goes into the wastebasket. You just don't understand what they're doing. We did a story on Stephanie Singer, whose campaign I hated. Mm-hmm. She's a ward leader, a silk stocking ward leader. She comes from the 8th ward where everybody thinks for himself. But down below, down deep, they're all prejudiced so-and-sos, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can work each individual committee person. Normally they work together under her guidance. This time she beat Marsh Tagliano, and I learned after we interviewed her that she's a math whiz. She teaches mathematics. She has a PhD in mathematics. She grew up in a political family. She attended more rallies than I've got hair on my head, and I've got a lot of hair on my head. And she figured out ahead of time that Marge, because of the drop program, was being banged on real hard by the press. Because Marge is a straight woman. She says what she thinks. Mm-hmm. She doesn't couch her words in polite terms. She even offered to whack out a radio reporter for calling her dishonest. She says, you come here, I'll hit you. I'm not dishonest. And she was right. She's not dishonest. But people don't understand where she's coming from as a city commissioner, how intricate and knowledgeable you have to be. And that's the knowledge she's gained in 4 decades in that office. But they went after her, and Singer understood that. And the way she ran her campaign was interesting, and we spread that out for voters to see last week. This week we have Kenyatta Johnson, who became the second council district nominee by 40 votes over Barbara Capozzi. And she's still fighting it, but I don't think she's going to be able to knock any of the votes out because she charged some shenanigans with the name of Damon Runyon's. People aren't aware of it. Damon Roberts, people aren't aware of that situation. There were four people running. Three were black. She was white. For some reason, at the last minute, Damon Roberts decided to get out. He petitioned the courts. Courts said, no, your name stays on the ballot. People have to vote for you. But in certain divisions, his name was taped over. She said the results of those divisions should be thrown out. If that's the case, she wins. But I don't think the judge is going to rule in her favor. So we're doing a story on Kenyatta Johnson in Thursday's paper. It's going to be interesting because I learned a lot about him. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he was as educated as he is. And he claims to be business friendly, so we're going to see.
Yeah. I'm often surprised when we interview somebody that's running, and we knew nothing about them, absolutely nothing. They were a complete mystery, and they came in, and they actually, you know, had something on the ball. You know, they knew what they were talking about. They knew the position they were running for. It was quite interesting, quite an education for me, actually.
Bottom line, I think, and a problem for all of us in this city is that we've got a one-party system. Unless you have two parties that can really bang at one another and create swing districts within the city, swing seats, you're never going to have a fully responsible elective office. Mm-hmm. Because once they're in, they're in. Once they get past the primary, they're literally good until they decide they want to get out. And as a result, what they feel they should do, they forget quickly once they're in office because they roll with the flow.
Yeah, I can understand that. You're listening to Between the Minutes on our new station, 860 AM WWDB. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Our guest is Mr. Jimmy Tyun, and we're talking about the election. So what else is going to be in the paper this week?
Oh, we normally do once a year a port salute or a state of the port message. Philadelphia's port is so essential to the welfare of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's amazing that people don't understand how much of an impact it makes. If there's no port traffic, there's very little income coming in and out of the Commonwealth. A shipment comes in, for instance, of cocoa beans.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up to Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
You've got already six or seven jobs involved in getting the cocoa beans off the ship, packed into a warehouse, and then shipped out. You've got drivers. You've got stevedores. What am I saying? Several hundred people are involved in just shipping out a bag of cocoa beans over to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
And there's a lot of our food that comes in from there,
right? We handle a tremendous amount of South American produce and fruits, like the Chilean fruit season.
Mm-hmm.
We're eating grapes in the wintertime here, and we're not paying very much money for them in comparison to other areas because the ships unload right here in Philadelphia. Tioga Pier with Bob Palaima, the operator of Delaware the river stevedores, is responsible for all this stuff coming in. And what happens? They unload in Philadelphia, put them in refrigerated warehouses, then ship them out in refrigerated trucks. And because we're close by, the shipping costs aren't that great. So our supermarkets benefit by it. The 9th Street Market benefits by it. And we're lucky as Philadelphians. We don't realize it. But Port of Philadelphia is so tremendous, and we put out a supplement yearly calling attention to the achievements of the Philadelphia Regional Port Authority, whose executive director is James T. McDermott. They call him Jamie. His dad used to be a Superior Court judge.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's phenomenal. He's put together an organization of rough riders. He's got them all working together, the unions, the operating terminal operators, the Teamsters, Wild Bunch, and they all work together pulling in the same direction to make the port a great port. And he warned us in this issue, you're going to read it Thursday, that the Port of Philadelphia is in danger of being pushed to the back burner and losing its ability to draw in the ships that will be coming into the Atlantic Ocean from the Pacific, these super tankers, super ships,
mm-hmm.
huge ships, because the Panama Canal will expansion will have been finished in 2014. Our dredging operation not going on is supposed to be completed in 2014 that welcome these ships, which will produce thousands of additional jobs. We've got the stats on it all. But unfortunately, the feds are ready to cut off dredging. In fact,
isn't that the Army Corps of Engineers?
Yeah, and you got Obama doesn't understand a port from a river and doesn't realize what dredging is, and he's ordered it cut. You know, I mean, they dredge the Nile. It's been dredging the Nile for 2,000, 3,000 years. And I've seen the dredges on the Nile. I said, what are they? Oh, they're dredges. They keep dredging the Nile.
Well, they actually want the soil from the Nile. That becomes farmland.
Well, our soil, believe it or not, has surpassed every test conducted by environmental specialists. And I've gone up into the mountains of Pennsylvania to see what they've done. And in Pennsylvania, we have coal regions where they used to scrape out the mountainside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Surface mining.
Yeah.
And they take that coal and leave it, and there'd be big scars.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I've gone to sites where we've used the dredging soil of Philadelphia, of the Delaware River, and I've seen the fruit and produce growing. It looks like beautiful farmland. It's great. And all the local people enjoy the produce. None of them are dying from it up in the coal region. So we need to dredge the river, and we need to do it quickly, and we need to convince the government that it's got to allow this to happen. Otherwise, Philadelphia is going to really, really sink economically.
Well, hopefully, you know, your article will sound an alert, and our representatives and senators and people in the state will start complaining that this has to happen.
You see, but the big problem is we had all inspector.
Right.
By losing all inspector, we've lost a voice that had a tremendous amount of impact in Washington.
Well, he didn't die. He's still around. Maybe they can go ask him help out.
No. We lost him. Legislation passing his committee would not pass his committee if he didn't get what he wanted from the president.
Okay.
And he was a maven for the port. He understood the port well, its meaning well. Ridge, Tom Ridge used to say, it's our gateway to the world. It's our seaport to the world.
Right.
And it's true. So we've got a crisis, and Philadelphians are going to be hard to pay attention to, get them to pay attention to it. They don't pay attention to who's getting to be their next mayor. So what's the difference? What do we do?
I don't know. I know that we've lost business to the Port of Baltimore.
No, well, we did, but we gained some of it back.
Got some of it back?
We stole the Kia ships. They used to go down to Baltimore, the automobiles.
Right.
Kia and Hyundai.
Yeah.
They now come to Philadelphia. You see, when you're going over the Whitman Bridge, look to your right if you're coming back into Philadelphia.
Well, I just was over the bridge, and I did see them, but the parking lot was more empty than full.
Well, that's because they're having a tough time making automobiles over there because of the Japanese earthquake.
Oh, is that what it
was? You know, I walked in a Honda shop, Piazza Honda, one of our advertisers down at the auto mall, and all the guys are hanging around looking sullen. I said, what's the matter? It's supposed to be a busy season. No cars to sell. No cars to sell. They can't get the cars.
Yeah, I read that Toyota is having the same problem, that some of the factories were damaged. They can't get the parts to complete the cars.
There's one company over there that makes one little part that's generic to all automobiles, and it was blown out of the water by the earthquake.
Why aren't we making those parts here then?
Because we've got selfish people who want to make more on the bottom line than they're entitled to.
If all the cars need it, you think that, you know, GM, Ford, the rest of the American companies would get together, build one factory, and make it?
Well, aren't there things like proprietary rights, patents, and stuff like that?
You know, you can always invent a way around any patent. Patents are very specific, and unless it's a foundational patent, you know, and I doubt anything in an automobile is foundational.
What do you mean by foundational?
That means you're opening a whole new area.
Okay.
Okay, something completely different. There's nothing else like it. You're the first patent in that field.
Okay.
That's a foundational patent. But, you know, automobiles, you know, most of the technology is more than 20 years old, which means it's out of patent. So, you know, if you're making a little widget, you know, there's ways around it. You know, you just say, okay, well, you read how the patent was written, and then you do the same functionality, but in a different way, and then you can apply for a patent on that.
Well, then I cannot answer for you why they haven't done it. I wish I could.
I don't know. Maybe they just don't care.
Probably.
Yeah.
Lowers the inventories. They can keep selling and raising the prices a tiny bit.
On the other hand, you know what? If the Asian car manufacturers can't deliver cars because they're missing this little $3 part, and the American car companies don't have that problem, maybe that's a good reason for us to not make that part.
Well, the American sales are up, and some our Fords are very comparable in quality now to anything that's coming into the country. Style for style, size for size, you know, the price for price. Ford's an excellent buy. So is Chrysler, which isn't as super great, but they're doing well, and so is Buick.
Yeah, I actually rented a Ford Fiesta recently, and I was really impressed. I mean, for a car that everybody thought of as it's small, it's inexpensive, it was a really nice car. It was comfortable, and it sipped gas. And I was just really
I like
happy
that. I never
that
heard
car.
That before, sipped gas. And I need my vehicles to sip gas.
Well, gasoline's pretty expensive.
Well, overseas, it's we're getting to be about average with overseas nations that charge $5, $6 a gallon of gas.
Yeah. Oh, well, they sell it by the liter, so I'm not even sure exactly how it works out, but you're saying we're getting close to paying the same as what
Europe. $5, $6 over there. I was in Lebanon last year, and there was $6 a gallon. You figure that close to the ocean fields, I mean, to the oil fields, they should get it cheaper, but no.
Now, if they don't have a refinery of their own, then they're going to have to, the oil has to be exported, refined, and then re-imported.
No, I didn't see any refineries, and that's a small country.
Yeah.
Well, politically, I have to say, maybe Americans will wake up to the fact that there's another election coming, the presidential election. But I'm sure by then only 40% of the people will vote, which means
it will be a big increase over this last.
Yeah, but still 60% of the people complaining about government, no matter what, and they're not voting, which means I think we've got to do what some of the other countries do, try and push Congress to make Election Day a holiday.
You know? Wow. Okay.
And you come out and if you vote, you get paid that day by your employer. If you don't vote, you get the holiday, but if you don't show you voted, some sort of proof that you voted, you don't get paid for that day. I think that might work.
So you're basically paying people to vote.
Well, we've got to do something with them. They're not doing anything else. I mean, if their lives depended on it, they're not going to vote. And I don't understand why. I really don't.
Their life does depend on it, but people anymore just, they don't have the interest. It's a shame.
You know,
everyone complains about the government and all their problems and what's going on, what's right or wrong, but they don't really get involved to make the difference.
Know what I've said to? I'll address a group of clergymen. They're asking me political questions: State of the Union, State of Pennsylvania, the city. And I would say to them, "Do you understand that politics is more important in this country than religion?" And they'd look at me like I was crazy. I say, what affects the quality of the air you breathe? Religion or politics? What affects the cost of the garments you're wearing? Religion or politics? What affects everything around you physically? Religion or politics? And in the end, they get an idea of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But the average citizen doesn't understand. And the crops of kids we're pushing out of the high schools aren't even given the opportunity to understand the political system whatsoever. If you ask them a question, what does a councilman do? what does a state representative do, and what does a congressman do? Or better yet, what do those three bodies have in common? Not one kid out of 10 can tell you what they have in common.
Right? You know, that's a shame, but above and beyond that, I'm amazed. I remember when I came out of high school, I was told basically that I wasn't as well educated as my parents. You know, we didn't read the classics. You know, we didn't have penmanship. We didn't have a whole lot of things that was normal. And what I'm seeing now is the same thing. A lot of people coming out of high school cannot write coherently. I mean, they can write notes and stuff, but they can't write well enough for other people to read.
And but they can twix.
They, oh, well, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots. I've got a grandson who's the, right now the black sheep of the family. That yo-yo bird is twixing his friends that he's stoned. You know? He says, I'm stoned. I said, look at this. I'm waiting to grab him so I can stone him my way.
Well, I think that it's not a good idea to admit to doing something like that in any form that can be monitored. And, you know, obviously those can be monitored. So, you know.
Especially when Grandpop's going to be chasing him around the block. So.
Yeah, actually, I think he should be more afraid of you than the police. You know?
He is.
You're right. Oh, my. Okay. Well, you're listening to Between the Minutes on 860 AM WWDB and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM. Oh, but we have a caller first. Okay, caller, are you there?
Hello, Petey.
Oh, it's Aunt Edna.
She found you.
Uh-oh.
That's right. I did find you. You had to go hide yourself in the morning.
Well, I'm yeah. We changed.
You know, I had to hire a couple of defectives to find you.
The defectives?
Well, if they're going to work for what I pay them, they got to be defective.
I guess there goes her beauty sleep now, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Aunt Edna. This is before your usual wake-up time.
I was out shaking my booty last night, and then I had to get up early to call in and see how you're doing.
Oh, well.
Jeez, you know, come on. Cut me a break here, Pete. How am I supposed to have a social life?
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, we are in a better time slot now and on a bigger station.
Huh.
It's easier to get us in on your, you know, car radio.
I said I'm in my car.
Okay.
I said I'm home.
Okay.
Don't tell us where you're at, whatever.
Because
I'm surprised she called because she didn't give out the number once.
Well, you know, it's Aunt Edna, so she has her ways. You heard?
I told you, I hired defectives.
Well, maybe we should give out the number right now. The show is live, and you can call in at 610-664-4100. That's 610-664-4100. So what else is happening, Aunt Edna?
Well, there's not much going on, I'm afraid, right now. I mean, it's too early for anything to really be shaking and happening here.
Oh, okay. Well, have you been listening to the show?
Yes, I have.
You've heard Jimmy Tyoon, our illustrious publisher of the Philadelphia Public Record?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I'm familiar with Mr. Tyoon.
Oh, yeah?
I'm in trouble.
Now, I remember when you had that restaurant with the shimmy shaky girls.
Well, I probably, if you did it then, I probably got you up to dance.
We're not going to go into that now, are we?
Okay.
I mean, that was the night they had the riot and they had to call the police in. You know, we won't go into that.
Aunt Edna, did you cause that riot too?
I plead the fifth. And I had a couple of them, too.
Yeah, back in her day, Aunt Edna was a belly dancer, and she was pretty good, you know. So I think I have some old black and white photos of her in her flapper girl and belly dancing costumes somewhere or other.
I did a mean shimmy. I left a few coins on the floor, if you know what I mean.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Edna.
Okay. Bye-bye, Petey.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
Anthony Murphy, the Executive Director of Town Watch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you. We need you to get involved in your community by joining a Town Watch in the city of Philadelphia.
How do I do that?
Or you reach out to me at 215-686-1459 or at www.townwatch.net. And we provide you with training, equipment, and the type of support you will need to be involved in your community.
So I can really join?
You can really join.
Join us at Philadelphia Town Watch Integrated Services.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Senator Anthony Williams invites you to a day of family fun and food to kick off a summer of peace with a free cookout on Saturday, June 25th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Stinger Square at 32nd and Reed Streets. For details, please visit SenatorAnthonyHWilliams.com. That's SenatorAnthonyHWilliams.com.
Between the Minutes continues on the Tri-State Area's Information Talk Station, 860 WWDB.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti, and our special guest today is Mr. Jimmy Tyone. Jimmy, let me ask you a question. What do you think would be the result if John Street jumps back into the race?
Well, I think the odds right now are about 3-1, he's not going to get into the race.
Okay.
But if he does decide to listen to people who just want to make a lot of noise and aggravate the situation mm-hmm. and break stones normally, mm-hmm. He might go. If he does, it's going to be very interesting. I still think Nutter will beat him 2-1. And I do believe that the Republicans, unfortunately, will not be able to field enough of a challenge to Nutter that he has to concentrate on anything but himself. And based on the way the city's going and the way the economy's going, the crises that are occurring, most people have developed an immunity to the problems facing this city. It's like if it's raining all day long, you eventually walk through the rain and go out because you need to go out and you ignore the rain.
Well, yeah.
And that's what the public is doing with Philadelphia crises. So Mayor Nutter will get an easy second term. I think the only fact that it could change is if Tom Knox gets into the race. Tom was able to draw a sizable number of black votes mm-hmm. to make him more credible in the last mayoral race. If he gets into the race, then I could see it being a toss-up between him and Nutter, with John running a poor third.
Wow. That would be a pretty exciting race. Hopefully it'll get people to turn out.
That kind of a race would.
Yeah. Let's ask some of the Between the Minutes crew. We have Frank Chichimable here. What do you think, Frank?
I tend to agree with Jimmy. If John decides he's going to run, I feel as though that he may make some noise, but when it's all said and done, Mayor Nutter is going to win outright. My surprise, a little different since we're talking mayor, is Karen Brown. I was very shocked and surprised, but glad that she made the running she did on the Republican side, beating Fetherman. In fact, I'm going to ask you, what do you think of that, Jimmy?
Karen was picked up at the very last minute by Billy Mann, Michael Mann, excuse me, and Vito Canuso, and Jimmy Dentino. Jimmy Dentino is one of the strongest Republican ward leaders in the city of Philadelphia, and he's in South Philadelphia. So he's seen Karen Brown operate, and he wanted Karen Brown to switch and jump in at the last minute because they did not want John Fetherman to be the candidate. Now, John Fetherman is extremely bright, sharp as nails, financially well off that he could run a tremendous campaign with his own wealth, mm-hmm. but his father won't let him spend family money. The Feathermans own a lot of property in Philadelphia that few people are aware of.
Okay.
But, and the Republican mainstream party did not want Fetterman because he represented a group of people who were now challenging for the first time in a long, long time the hierarchy of the Republican Party. So it was a battle between the Republican City Committee and the Republican Chartered Local Committee. They have their own little
right.
committee of insurgents. And she won by 54, 64, whatever the vote count was.
I think it was 58.
Yeah, and that was a surprise. And I think she should have won by more, but she kept shooting herself in the foot because she kept telling Republicans, get out there, do the job, I'll take care of the Democrats. Instead of cup in hand, I know I'm a Democrat, but I've become a Republican because I think it's the only way to go. We need to show there's a need for a difference in the city. But she wasn't that humble. And she's learning. She's a quick learner. She's doing a job, but she's not going to go anywhere because the media will not give her coverage.
Well, we actually gave her coverage on our show. She came on. And,
after the election?
No, before the election.
Oh, yeah, well, she got coverage before that. But now after the election, what happens is the mainline media are going to say this is a already conclusive election. You win the primary in Philadelphia, you're going to win the general election. That's why there's going to be very little changes except in the city commissioner's race where you've got three slots. Two go to the majority and one goes to the minority.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they only run two and two for a three-man slot. Two in the Democrats, two the Republicans. So one of them, whoever's in the minority is sure to get one person. So it looks like Al Smith may beat out Joe Duda on the Republican side because a lot of people on both sides of the Republican spectrum like him. Joe Duda's been around a long time, commendable. I think he's a great guy. He's been Mr. Republican for a long, long time. But the young insurgents want to see blood. They want to see new blood. So Duda has a fight for his life. As far as any other seats are concerned, I think in a minority for council, I predict Denny O'Brien and David O.
Mm-hmm.
Winning those two seats.
Yeah, David O came in number one in the Republican primary. So.
He's sharp.
Yeah.
Sharp. He's worked so hard for three terms. 12 years he's been campaigning, right, to be recognized by the Republicans. And he managed to almost beat them each time.
Yeah, because the Republicans didn't carry him this time, if I'm remembering correctly.
This time they carried him. He was endorsed.
Okay, and it had been something late because I know talking to him, that Jimmy Dantino, who's the Republican head, they left him for dead, from what I understand.
Well, they resurrected him. Just before the election, he became the endorsed candidate. So there's going to be very little interest engendered through the summer months to get voters alive. It's not going to happen. We'll have probably a 30 to, well, the presidential election next year is a different story. But this November, 30% of the people may vote, and that would be a hallmark victory for the voters.
So, with all of that said, what do you think the final result of the election is going to be?
Exactly what took place in the Democratic primary. The Democrats will win everything. All those who won will win every seat, and the Republicans will get their minority seats, and that's where the only choice is Al Smith or Joe Duda.
And
the two councilmen at large.
Now, the presidential elections are coming up, and everyone I know thinks that Obama is a shoo-in. He's just going to get it. There is no Republican front runner. What do you think is going to happen with that?
By default, he'll win. He's not popular. People like him as a person. They like him as a president, but they don't like his 42% of the people would say right now they would endorse him for president again, and that was by the latest Zogby poll, which came out yesterday, which I have a copy of. He went from a high with Osama, okay, back to where he was before. He doesn't seem to get over 42% will vote for him again for president. But that's a lot of numbers.
Well, that is a lot of numbers.
So the Republicans, unless they get somebody charismatic, another Reagan, forget it.
There's none on the horizon. I mean, who do you think the Republicans are going to run?
I like Romney, and I like Santorum. He's our own. He's from Pennsylvania.
Right.
And, in fact, I just sent him an email today. Next time you're in a debate, don't look at the moderator. Don't look at the candidates you're debating with. Look at the red eye. Because when you look at the red eye, you're looking at the viewer who's watching you.
Yeah.
They don't seem to understand that, these guys. And last time he ran and lost, I told him the same thing. Look at the camera.
Look at the camera. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole reason you're on TV, is so that people can see you.
Yeah,
so,
well,
what do you think happened with Frank Rizzo Jr.?
Frank kept telling me that he had high numbers. His polls showed he was doing well. But I don't think he conducted a poll. And his staff felt strongly, I've talked to them, that he was beginning to lose points. And in fact, he did. The drop program affected him like it did everybody else. And Republicans wanted a change. And it was that simple. They thought Malcolm Lazin, who's one of the gay leaders in the city of Philadelphia, would be his replacement. But even Lazin lost. So it was his time to go. And only he did not understand that.
Well, that's kind of a shame. I mean, the Rizzo family's been an institution in the city for a long time. But you're right. I mean, he seemed to just completely ignore drop. And that is a hot topic with people not having jobs.
Yeah, but you know,
economy,
something,
you know,
Peter,
people got angry.
I've been supporting drop. Week after week, I will write an editorial or do a story that shows that the Boston survey that the city called used to denunciate, to deprecate drop as an incentive program, a good program, was full of flaws. We showed the flaws. We did in-depth stories. Bottom line is, the problem with drop was the fact that those who were on the program were getting a 4% return of the money that they were investing themselves into the program, plus what the city was giving them. City had to give them back a 4% interest. Well, there's no 4% interest anywhere around. It's 1%. And it was an excellent management tool. You could tell who's going to stay, who's going to leave, and who to begin to promote. The only thing you needed to do was get the elected officials out of it, but they pasted it again, and this time they kept themselves in it again, which is a mistake.
You know what? I want to hear some more about that right after the break. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB. You can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
Anthony Murphy, I'm the Executive Director of Townwatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a Townwatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a Townwatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Senator Anthony Williams invites you to a day of family fun and food to kick off a summer of peace with a free cookout on Saturday, June 25th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Stinger Square at 32nd and Reed Streets. For details, please visit SenatorAnthonyHWilliams.com. That's SenatorAnthonyHWilliams.com.
Yeah.
Between the Minutes continues on 860 AM WWDB. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes on 860 AM WWDB. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Our special guest is Mr. Jimmy Tyoon, and we have the Between the Minutes crew, which is Frank Chichimable and J.J. DePhillips. You can call in, too, and be part of the show at 860 AM WWDB. The phone number is 610-664-4100. Again, that's 610-664-4100. Jimmy, we're talking about the DROP program. Now, you know, you were saying you're in favor of it, but that it's being misused?
Well, you're drawing fire to it despite the fact that it's a management tool that, if worked correctly, enhances the city's ability to stop a brain drain or to prepare people to replace key people in the organization. Because if you know a guy's going to retire in 4 years, you're going to start grooming his replacement. What happened here is people didn't realize that if you're on the drop program and you get elected as an official, you can retire for the day and come back again. All right?
Right.
Now, you've already collected your $300,000, $100,000, $400,000, because that's the way the program works. You take all your accumulated pension money plus the 4% interest the city was giving you, and you pocket it, and now you're eligible to put more money into the program. But by putting more money back into a savings program from your salary with the city no longer pays in its share that it used to pay to you before you left on the drop program.
Right.
So in reality, a council person who's on the drop program, or a commissioner, or anybody in elected office, once they draw their drop money and they go back again and are eligible again for the drop program, no longer get a city contribution each week or each month whenever they pay their salaries. So basically, you're getting the same council service or the same person pre-drop, after drop, cheaper. He's not costing you as much. So I don't know what the hell the hullabaloo was all about.
So are you saying that it's really their money and that the city's just matching
it's
it?
It's the
like,
money
like
that
retirement
they put
plan?
Into the retirement fund. You determine how much of your salary you want to put into your retirement fund. City holds that money for you. The pension board invests that money for you. And whatever it comes to, whatever accrual they've put together for you, that's fine. City's already contributing X amount of dollars to your fund. All right? Once you take it and you come back again to serve again as a councilman because you got elected, the city no longer pays in. So what's the beef? City no longer pays in. Nobody gave you extra money because you want a drop program. It's just that you couldn't take anything out. You couldn't do anything. It's all in one lump sum. And you're allowed to pull it out as a lump sum. Whereas if you retired under the program, city would give you so much a month. All
right? Right.
That's the difference. You decided to pull everything out. You could have pulled everything out anyway if you didn't want the city to give you X amount of dollars per year and invest your money elsewhere. It's your money. But the media managed to gobble it. Good old Stu Bykofsky got himself a dead horse. He could kick over and over again. And that's what he was doing. Never bothering to explain the facts. We had studies done by other organizations, more reputable than the Boston study, that we reported on, and people still didn't want to pay attention to it. Men on the pension board, like Bill Rubin, who's now running for district councilman in the 10th against Brian O'Neill, is a maven on this stuff. And I would ask him to ghost write stories for me with facts and figures as he knew them. And we laid it all out plain, but nobody wanted to pay attention. You know, and then the public, you know, just doesn't understand, nor does it care to understand anything.
Well, you know, it gets difficult. I mean, people had a lot of voice on DROP and then just you explaining it. So it's difficult. And, Frank, what's your opinion on DROP?
I agree with Jimmy and everything he said, but the people are more consumed with the economy. And no matter what, no matter how you explain it, no matter how you lay it on the table, they have their own view. Everybody's sucked in with the economy, and they're all going through financial heartache.
And if you're an elected official,
you are
bum in the park because you didn't. You're still taking a salary plus a bonus.
Right. So that's perceived as a lot of people think you're just double dipping, being a pig, so to speak.
Right. So what you're saying is that the reality of drop is more a perception than a cost to the city.
That's it. The bottom line is the city would save. But the fact that the elected officials could run again after taking the drop bothered them. They didn't want to understand the P's and Q's. Nobody wanted to listen.
And like Jimmy said, the media gets a hold of it, like Stu and all. They haven't.
And Vernie used to say, listen, it's my money. It's my money. They didn't understand. They didn't want to bother having her explain why it was her money, how she put money into it every week, every month, for close to 40 years, Danny. She was the longest employee in city history. As of now, she is the longest employee in city history. Did you know that?
No.
She worked. Her father became a councilman. She got out of high school, Hallahan High School, and went to work for him as a secretary.
Wow.
And all those years in city council, eventually when her father died, Congressman Barrett went to her and said, you're running for your father's seat. She said, but I don't know anything. He says, you know more than all the other people who are running because you've been in city council all these years with your dad. So she is the longest serving city employee.
I never knew that. Yeah. I never knew that. I got another question for you. I want to hear a little bit about your newspaper. Everybody reads your newspaper. It's probably read more than any other paper in this city, including that upstart, The Inquirer. So how's everything going with your paper? You hear all these worrisome things about people don't like to read, newspapers are dying, the Internet's making it irrelevant. On the other hand, I can read your paper on the Internet.
You can actually turn the pages and read it on the Internet. Plus, I keep telling people, look, we're a niche newspaper. That means we appeal to a lot of people who are political wannabes, who are politicians being born or created or active or maturing. Whatever you are, if politics is your game and the unions are your game, the protection of the unions, the defense of the unions, the problems of the unions, and the school district is your game, we cover those three rather well. And I'll tell people, you want to see the efficacy of our newspaper? Go to City Hall on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. You'll see big bundles of the Public Record on our racks, and you see big bundles of the Philly Weekly and the City Paper. Come back at 11 o'clock, and you'll see still two big bundles of the City Twins, those two papers, and mine are gone. I have to get my guys to go back and refill for the next day. Why? Because there's an interest. It's not all over the city, but you figure there at least 3,600 committee people, 36 times 2, 7,200 committee people in the city of Philadelphia, Democrat and Republican, plus their families, plus other people, plus elected officials. And you can see why our paper's read.
Well, it's a paper that covers things thoroughly in the area that it covers it, and covers it better than other papers.
We have columns like yours, Pete. I mean, you know, that's a winner for me. You know, it's like turning the page and all of a sudden you get caught on a headline under the computer world and people read you.
Well, we're certainly going to have to bring you back and talk about this even more. This was a really exciting show. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM, WWDB, and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com.